the epistle for the 20th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 5. Brethren, see to it, therefore, that you walk with care, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not become foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, for in that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual canticles, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always and for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And the gospel is taken from that according to St. John chapter 4. At that time, there was a certain royal official whose son was lying sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea into Galilee, he went to him and besought him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus therefore said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you do not believe." And the royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." And Jesus said to him, "Go thy way, thy son lives." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and departed. But even as he was now going down, his servants met him and brought word saying that his son lived. And he asked of them therefore the hour in which he had got better. And they told him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." The father knew then that it was at the very hour in which Jesus had said to him, "Thy son lives," and he himself believed and his whole household. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So today is the 20th Sunday after Pentecost, and I have had to have two sermons prepared for today, and so I had to flip a coin. And in any case, we're going to go ahead and give you the repetition, because it's the part of the reason is because I think it's important that education to learn a little bit more about the angels. It's actually the same sermon I gave last week, and the other one was on Nicodemus and on the two holy women and the daughter of Jairus. But we'll worry about that some other time. I think we'll just go ahead and give the repetition on the angels, because of the importance of the angels in our lives. And this month of October is dedicated to the holy angels. October the 2nd, of course, the Feast of the Guardian Angels, and October 24th, the Feast of St. Raphael. September 29th, last Sunday, would kind of mark the introduction to the feast, to the month of October, and the angels of the Feast of St. Michael the Archangel. And so just a contemplation on the angels and on their importance in the role of salvation and their importance in our lives, the teaching of the Catholic Church regarding the angels. And the first thing to note, it is sometimes disconcerting how many of us traditional Catholics, even traditional Catholics who are supposed to be people that know their faith, take seriously the education given to us by Hollywood. When we think about angels and we think about the supernatural, we think about what Hollywood has to say about it. And I know for a fact that when beginning this little sermon, talking about the angels and what they have to do with us and how they touch us, that many people here think about a particular show called Touched by an Angel, which has nothing to do with angels, maybe being touched, but in the head with psychological problems, but not by an angel. There is a true theology of the angels. They are real creatures. They do really exist. They are not sentimental creatures. They are not nice, fluffy creatures. They are real beings created by God. They are beings of pure intellect and pure will. They have a greater beauty than man. In fact, they are quasi-infinitely more beautiful than us. And today, a contemplation on these angels, taken from the Golden Legend by Jacobus de Voragine, who wrote these words 1,000 years ago, talking about what the angels do with us, and what the Catholic Church teaches about these angels. And first of all, the angels are very real creatures. They're created by God, so we'll find them in the book of Genesis. The first time they're mentioned, it's indirectly, says St. Thomas Aquinas. And St. Jerome says the same thing, as does St. Augustine. The first time that the angels are mentioned is indirectly, and it's in the book of Genesis chapter 1, when God said, "Fiat lux, let there be light," and light was made. And then he separated the light from the darkness. This was the first indirect mention of the angels. Then we'll find direct mention of the angels throughout all of sacred scripture, many, many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times throughout the Old Testament and also the New. And then when we go through the last 2,000 years of Catholic history, we'll find the angels appearing time and time again. Many a saint had many communications with the angels. And then, of course, we've seen their power throughout history. In the very beginning, let there be light. And light was made. St. Thomas says, not only was the physical light that we see around us created, and it was really and physically created at that time, lest one think that it was a symbolic statement in the Genesis, but not only this physical light, but also the creatures of light were created. These creatures of light, meaning the creatures of intelligence, the creatures of knowledge, the creatures that are made purely into the image of God, these creatures, the angels, were created. And we do not know the number of these angels, but we do know from St. Jerome, from St. John Chrysostom, from St. Augustine, and many others, that their number far exceeds the number of men. Most of them give the commentary about the number of the angels in Luke chapter 15, right before the prodigal son story, when our Lord says that there were 100 sheep, and one was lost. And the shepherd left behind the 99 to go and seek the one that was lost. And here the saints tell us that the one sheep that was lost was all mankind. Every man from the creation of the world until its very ending. Every single man was lost. And 99 sheep, 99 angels were left behind. Hence, for every one man, says St. John Chrysostom, there are 99 angels. And if we count all the men, 99 saved angels, not the total number of the angels, but 99 saved angels. And if we count the total number of men, of the many trillions of men that have lived from the beginning of time until the end, multiply that 100 times, and we have the numbers of the angels. So to give us an idea of how vast and how great is the number of the angels, and how vast and great is their power. They are everywhere around us. They are all over this universe, and they are all over this world. And though we do not see them with our eyes, they are very real spiritual creatures. 2/3 of those angels are in heaven. 1/3 of those angels are in hell. This is the common teaching of the fathers of the church about the fall. 2/3 followed Michael, the lower archangel that stood up and said, "Who is like unto God?" And 2/3 saw the wisdom of the lower angel and his humility in accepting whatever God decrees. And 1/3 followed the pride of Lucifer, the greatest of all the angels, who could not understand that God would become a man and lower himself to the level of a man. When he could not understand that God would make a creature, Mary, who would only being a creature be greater than all other of the angels, including Lucifer himself, making him the number 2 man in the kingdom, something that he could not tolerate. And so he said, "Non serviam." Lucifer said, "Non serviam, I will not serve." Michael said, "Who is like unto God?" And many a saint, Saint Bernard has said to us, he said that in fact, in the word "who is like unto God" is found all of sanctity. Everything you need to know about being a saint and being a follower of our Lord Jesus Christ and about the gospel and about everything that ever happened in human history, it is contained in the one word, Michael. For angels say everything in one word. and everything there is to know about sin, and everything there is to know about hell, and everything there is to know about evil, all of that is contained in the one word that Lucifer said, non serviam, I will not serve. There is all evil in hell. Who is like unto God? There is all goodness in heaven. Everything that is to be known about the supernatural life, both the good side, Michael, and the bad side, non serviam, all is there in those words. Angels understand them in one grasp, at one instant. We human beings spend all of human history meditating these things, and we do not fully understand. We are much lower creatures. But here a consideration of what the angels do for us. Now, there are many kinds of angels. We know that there are 9 choirs of angels mentioned in sacred scripture. So the seraphim, the cherubim, the seraphim, the powers, the thrones, the dominations, principalities, angels, archangels, and then I'm forgetting one, so that's not good. The other one. The virtues. And so those are the 9 choirs of the angels. And St. Bernard tells us that all of us saints fit into the category of these 9 choirs. Each of them has a different role, different levels, different functions they fulfill. But we call all of these beautiful creatures, each of them which is a different special creation of God, each of them taken into themselves, the beauty of one angel far exceeds the beauty of the entire universe taken together. We look at all the beautiful creation of God, the beauty of the mountains, the beauty of the flowers, the beauty of the trees, the beauty of man himself, and this beauty overwhelms us as we see the beauty of God in these things. But that beauty does not in any way compare with the beauty of the lowest of the low of all of the angels. In that one angel created by God, who is the lowest of the angels, there is infinite more beauty, or quasi-infinite more beauty, than there is in this entire visible universe. So beautiful are these creations of God. And then there are many trillions of these different creations. We divide them into 9 choirs. We call them angels. The saints wisely call them angels. And the reason why they're called angels, the word angel quite simply means messenger. That's all that it means. A messenger of God. Now, all angels have this in common, in that they are messengers of God to do His work in this universe. The old saints told us, some angels, their job is to push the stars around. One angel is there to make sure that the sun is 93 million miles away from the earth. Some angels have very lowly tasks. Other angels have very high tasks. And they simply watch over this entire universe. But each of them does it happily, even though they're infinitely higher creatures in this universe itself, because they will be the messenger of God. They will do whatever God asks them to do. And there is no task too low for an angel, because they only see the face of God, and they only see His will, and they only want to obey His will. And hence they are our example. Now, some of the angels are attached to each man. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the Gospel that was read last Sunday, the Feast of St. Michael, is the one that told us about the guardian angels. He said, woe to the man who scandalizes these little ones, for each one of them has an angel who sees my face. So Christ Himself told us that every child as a special guardian angel. Now, these angels being messengers of God, these angels being representatives of God, can only be portrayed in Catholic art and in the Catholic mind as men. We find it common in our day and age to see pictures of angels with wings that are like women, and that is not correct. An angel should never be portrayed as a female. Angels should only be portrayed as men. When you go through sacred scripture, you will find many angels. In all cases, they are men. We have the names only of a few angels, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael. And these angels are all men. And they are all fulfilling manly tasks as leaders in the Church of God, defenders of the Church of God, and messengers of God Himself. And St. Paul tells us that a woman cannot be a messenger. She cannot be the one who stands up in the church and speaks of the things of God in the church. Let women be silent in the church, which are words that modern women do not want to hear. Don't complain to me, complain to St. Paul. But it's a fact. Christ chose 12 apostles. They were all men. He could have chosen his mother. He didn't. His mother is the greatest of all the creations that he had ever made. She is far superior to the angels themselves and to all of us. In every single way, she is superior to us. And yet, she was not given the task of spreading the gospel throughout the world. So angels should only be portrayed as men. What do our guardian angels do for us? Few things. The guardian angel is with us at all stages of our lives. And his first duty, says Jacob de Veron, he says that the first duty of the angels is to help us to increase in grace. Without the angels, we can't increase in grace. They're the messengers of grace. The example that we see in sacred scripture is that of the Blessed Virgin Mary herself. She would be the mother of God. But unless she would accept to be the mother of God, we cannot be saved. But how could she accept to be the mother of God unless an angel came and bore the message to her? Gabriel came and spoke to her. And Gabriel asked her to be the mother of God. He was the messenger of God. And unless Gabriel came to give the message, she could not respond yes to the word of God. And so likewise, the saints tell us, whenever I say yes to God, whenever I say yes in a small way or in a large way, I am saying yes because of the inspiration and the strength given to me and the message given to me by my guardian angel. So they're operating constantly in my life. Firstly, as the guardian and as the one who helps me to increase in grace. So the guardian angel helps me to grow in grace. They are our leaders along the path of grace. The Jews had to travel through this life for 40 years in the desert. It was an angel in the form of a pillar of cloud who led them by day, and an angel in the form of the pillar of fire that led them by night. And the angel also who brought down the manna, and the angel that brought down the quail as well. It was the angel that brought these things to the Jewish people so that they could live in the desert. And we likewise are the modern Jews, the followers of Christ. And this world is a desert. And in order to live in this desert, the angels must bring us spiritual food, they must bring us spiritual drink, and they must guide us, as Raphael guided Tobias, far away from his home, and then back to it. And so they are our guides and they are our protectors, but especially in the spiritual things. Also, the angels keep us from falling into sin. And there's several ways that they do this. They control the passions. The angel actually has an action in my life whereby he keeps my passions under control. He keeps them from getting out of control. And if they do get out of control, it's because I make a free act of the will to reject the inspiration of the angel and to follow my passions. So that when the time comes when we stand before the judgment seat of God, we are not going to be able to say, well, he got me so mad that I lost control. And I was so angry that I lost control and it wasn't completely my fault. And the guardian angel will stand up and say, no, I held his passions in check. And the great example in sacred scripture of the holding of the passions in check is Jacob. Jacob walked with an angel. And he spoke with an angel throughout the entirety of the day about the things of God. And at the end of the day, the angel said, I'm going to leave you now. And Jacob said, you cannot leave until you tell me your name. The angel said, I will not tell you my name. Jacob did not know it was an angel. He began to fight with the man all through the night. And he fought and wrestled throughout the entirety of the night. And in the morning, the angel said to Jacob, you have fought well. You have asked my name. I will not give it to you. But because you have fought well, I will give you a new name. You are no longer Jacob. You are now Israel. For you have fought strong against God. So Israel means strong against God or to fight against God. And then in order to show that it was a great blessing to receive it of this new name, in order to show his power, that man who had fought with Jacob throughout the entirety of the night took his right index finger and he touched the hip of Jacob ever so lightly, and his hip shrunk so that he limped all the days of his life. In this shrinking of the hip, St. Bernard tells us, in this shrinking of the hip, we find the shrinking of the passions, that Jacob was no longer able to fight for the remainder of his days. That was his last fight. His passions had become diminished, and he had begun to get control over his passions, and it was because of the touch of an angel which shrunk his hip and controlled the passions. And when we are strongly tempted to anger or to impurity, it is possible for us to call upon the help of our guardian angel to put our passions in check. That's one of the roles of that angel. Also, the angel, when we have committed a sin, is there to help to lead us back to the path of grace. So he is going to lead us back to the correct way, to the path of grace. The angel operates always in our lives, and he keeps a log of everything that we do. Every single action of our lives, he logs. He makes sure that every grace that possible can be given to us is given to us. The Blessed Virgin Mary is his queen. This month of October is the month of Our Lady. It's the second month of Our Lady, the month as May is, and it's the month of the angels. But she especially as the queen of the angels. She gives grace to us through those angels. And she mediates all those graces. She mediatrix of all those graces. Those graces come to us by the mediation also of the angels. Just like the grace of all the world came to us through the angel and Mary, so likewise they come to us through the angel and Mary now. At the day of judgment, when we die, the guardian angel will be there. And one thing I forgot to mention is that there are two angels given to us at birth. Two angels are given to us, says Joachim de Varennes. One to test us, the other to sanctify us, to lead us. The one to test is our guardian devil. The one to lead is our guardian angel. Now the guardian devil is given to us. His evil desire is to bring us to the kingdom of hell, but in fact, he is an instrument for salvation. The Book of Wisdom says, "Blessed is the just man who could have sinned, but he did not." In fact, St. Bernard says also that sometimes the devil will not tempt us because he knows we're going to resist the temptation, and when we do, we will grow in merit. And he doesn't want to be responsible for our growing in merit. And so sometimes the devil himself refuses to tempt. He does not tempt as often as he would like. But when he does tempt, it is not a bad thing for us. In fact, it is good. We can resist the temptation and become stronger and prove our love of God, like the gold fire tried, or like the just man. And so we are not to overly fear the guardian devil. We are to have total confidence in the guardian angel, who can give us a positive inspiration. And one of the purposes of this angel also is to enlighten our intellect, to make sure that we know the truth, we seek the truth, and we think with clarity and honesty about ourselves and about our duties. We're often tempted to think with a lack of clarity and lack of honesty. And then, again, at that day of judgment, at that time of judgment, the guardian angel shall either be our accuser or our protector. Either way, if we have died in the state of mortal sin, he will accuse us. And with great wrath, we will see our angel, and we will be terrified at his sight. And if we die in the state of grace, he shall protect us and be our great defender, and will be a great comfort to us at the time of judgment. So the angel is of utmost importance in our lives. These real angels that exist and are found in sacred scripture many times and throughout history and in our own lives. And in conclusion, Pope Leo XIII saw the importance of the angels, particularly St. Michael the Archangel, back in 1897 when he saw a vision, and in that vision, he saw that the devil would be unleashed about 100 years in a special way to wreak havoc throughout the 20th century on the world. He saw the horrible works that the devil would perform, and he realized that it was necessary to fight against the devil to hold him in check. And so he had a devotion to St. Michael, and he asked that in every single low mass from that time in perpetuity, that there be the recitation of the so-called prayers after low mass. These prayers did not exist previous to Pope Leo XIII. He was the one that instituted them shortly before the year 1900. And that is the three prayers, the three Hail Marys, and the Let Us Pray, and God, our Refuge and our Strength, and the, most importantly, the St. Michael the Archangel itself prayer. And he had confidence in this prayer being said throughout the whole church to hold the devil in check. But in 1963, Pope John the 23rd decided that it was no longer necessary to say these prayers because the devil was no longer such a great danger in the church. And so he dropped the prayers from the end of low mass. And 3 or 4 years later, Pope Paul the 6th would say, "The smoke of Satan has entered into the Vatican." So these prayers and devotion to St. Michael the Archangel especially, but also to all of the angels, of the utmost importance to us in the fight against the devil. We need to note also that we cannot defeat the devil. Only the guardian angel in Christ can defeat the devil, and therefore we must have confidence in them, not in ourselves, in the fight against sin. And so as to try to have a devotion to our angel, follow his guide. He is the means by which we're going to become saints. And then also Jacob de Verane says that when the time comes that we go to heaven, it is our angel that will carry us up to that place. And he will sing with us in glory forever. And I'll close it at that, and God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So after the Mass, we'll have the first catechism class at 11 o'clock. And then we'll get back going again with the adult catechism class. Then at 11:30, the Legion of Mary meeting upstairs in the choir loft. And there were 38 of you that signed up 4 weeks ago, when the two ladies were here and they gave a little talk on the Legion of Mary. 38 of you signed up, and I want to see all 38 of you upstairs at 11:30. I will be there at the beginning of the meeting, and we're going to make a few announcements before I head up to Fort Collins. So be sure to be there, and we need the Legion of Mary. It's going to be important to get the faith spread in our parish and in our area here. One of the roles of this Legion of Mary to go out and to be an example to those people in our community and to try to bring them into the faith of Christ or bring them back to the faith or back to the practice of the faith, and then starting with ourselves and then to do good works here in the parish. And so the 38 of you signed up, and I want the 38 of you to be upstairs at 11:30 after the catechism class. So God bless you all. And once again, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.